Hello and welcome to the Tortoise Shack. Today we're going to take a look at the polls. We're going to take a look at where we stand right now. Joining me in the studio is Rachel O'Neill and Glenn Fitzpatrick. Thanks for coming along,
Hello.
Guys.
Hello. Hey, Tony, how's it going?
Tony.
Oh, Jesus.
I am so much better looking than Tony, seriously.
Force of habit. At least 5 times a week.
Jesus.
So, force of habit. Apologies, Martin.
Rachel, I'm going to start with you. You've seen the polls, so...
I've been out of the loop for about a week, Martin. Come on.
I know you have.
But I have seen the polls. Go on.
What do you feel?
Ooh, many things. Personally, it's hard because my idea would be a Sinn Féin kind of broad left coalition. But I don't foresee that happening. And I don't feel like Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil is going to work out. And then this whole idea where you could have a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael grand coalition with support from the Greens is something that sends shivers down my spine. Because if someone's pointed out on Twitter this morning, and I can't remember who it was, it's like, wow, I didn't realise we voted for the exact same thing just with an added carbon tax. And it's like, yeah, no, you don't want that either. So it's like, I can't believe it. But is there anything to be said for a second election?
Or a second mass even. Glenn,
yeah,
give us your view on it.
Enjoying the meltdowns, to be honest with you. I think there's obviously a desire from the establishment to get something back in place and something up and running. I mean, obviously we need that for other reasons as well. But I think them trying to find some way of, you know, getting back to business as usual is just not tenable, not on the table either. So, you know, that's been sort of, a case of get the popcorn out and enjoy all of that. And there could be some mileage left in that yet, because like, I think, as we were talking about off air, I mean, I don't think the SFFF option is there for a variety of reasons. Is there some scenario where Mary Lou can become Taoiseach of some sort of an administration if Fianna Fáil abstain? And then, you know, the government would be probably brought down in 2 or 3 months anyway, but that would be, tactically from Sinn Féin's perspective, might be very useful, because they could say, well, listen, we've put our best foot forward, we tried to get something done, and we didn't cause ultimately the return to the polls. Like, and everyone seems to be playing their own tactical game at the moment, and I think it's a case of who's boxing cleverer.
Well, I don't think Sinn Féin can come out of this badly either way, because they are the ones who basically said, we're open, we'll talk to anyone, and the other parties have distanced themselves from Sinn Féin, particularly Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. So there's no, in my opinion, I don't think Sinn Féin are going to come out of this in any way looking badly, because they've tried, you say you put the best foot forward, that government that you've described probably will never happen at the moment, but Sinn Féin are going to do what they want, and not do what they want, but they're going to come out of this really, really well, I think, one way or another. Because realistically, just because you've seen a couple of them go up the rad doesn't necessarily mean that you wouldn't vote for them again in the second election.
Well, I kind of agree with you there, but I also think Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are getting off the hook a lot. I mean, there are two coalitions, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and another, or you have Sinn Féin with another, 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 and another. And that's how it works.
The Caliad coalition.
Well,
and another one.
but I, you know, we've had minority governments for how long now? You could have a broad left coalition minority if there was some supply and confidence from either Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael on the same premise that Fine Gael had the supply and confidence in that Brexit is too important to faff around with. So, you know, if Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael were actually serious about it, they'd say, look, yeah, go ahead and we'll give you 18 months supply and confidence. But they're not going to, because they're not serious about it.
No.
So that leaves only one game in town. That's Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. And, you know, a little bit criticism here of the Greens. As long as Eamon Ryan is running around talking to all and sundry, it's taken the spotlight off Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And
it's giving them an easy get out.
It's giving them a real easy get out, isn't
like,
it?
Like, I like the Greens. I do. I'm not as distrustful of them as you are, Martin. But I do think that whatever their policy about of, we're going to sit down, we're going to talk to everyone, that's fine. But why not do a Sock Dem on it and wait?
Yes.
And just rule it out and wait. Because if you wait, and then, because all of a sudden everyone's going, oh, this is exactly like it was in 2011. And there's a reason why people are distrustful of the Greens. You cannot get rid of that by having Eamon Ryan as your leader. I get it, he was in government. But you need to do something here and just pull a Sock Dem and stay out of it. And let Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael eat each other alive until they agree to go into some fucking thing.
I completely agree with you. I mean, there's sort of a little bit of it seems to be desperation on the part of the Greens to be relevant. Now, you're relevant by your numbers. Your numbers make you relevant. So all you got to do is say, well, here's our red lines. There's no viable coalition on the table at the moment. So we'll just sit over here. When you guys have all worked it out, come over. And we'll we'll compare red lines, and if we can go with you, we'll go with you. If we can't, we can't. Mm. But instead, I think ego has taken over, and we must talk to everybody. We must be seen to talk to everybody. That's not a solution. All that is doing is stalling for time.
Mm. Glenn.
Yeah. And again, we were talking about this off air as well, so sorry if I'm literally stealing your bullet points, Martin, but the whole shoot or get off the pot mentality, in the sense that if there is a left-right sort of mindset emerging in people's heads, like which side are they going to find themselves on, and there mightn't be any room on a burning fence, so you know they have to probably choose their next moves probably more wisely than any of the other parties at the moment.
Okay, well, I'm going to go now and look party by party, so let's start Labour.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel, opinions?
They're so irrelevant, it doesn't matter.
Glenn?
Yeah, Moribund, I think they'll probably try to do some sort of a backroom deal over the next 3 or 4 years to go back in with the Sock Dems. Otherwise, they're going to be in single digits forever. I don't think they'll ever be trusted again in working class areas, and rightfully so, in my view.
Can I ask on that point who you two would rather see emerge as leader now that Brendan Helen is going to resign?
Jed Nash.
Jed Nash?
I think I would have most time for Jed in terms of the work he's done. You know, he's been close enough to the trade unions for a lot of years, so a lot of people in the movement would speak quite highly of him. But, I mean, to
who
me,
do you think will take it then?
I'd be very surprised if Alan Kelly didn't win it.
They'll do anything to keep Alan Kelly out, though, I would say. Because I would back Aidan O'Riordan or Crayon O'Riordan or whatever his fucking name is. But I would say Aidan O'Riordan. And I don't like that at all. But this is why I think the Labour Party are relevant. I think you're right on the backdoor deals for the Sock Dems. I think there needs to be some kind of coming together of those two parties eventually. Because I think as a voter, for me personally, it's very hard for me to tell the difference. Now, the only reason I will always go Sock Dem, because I'm a true heart to Catherine Murphy, because she's Kildare North and I voted Keane O'Callaghan, Dublin Bay South, or Dublin Bay North, sorry. But they need to come together, I think, because otherwise, I think you're right, Labour are going to be stuck in single digits. And you're right again, in the sense, you're so right, Glenn, in the sense that they're never going to be trusted again by the working class. And why should they?
Well, they got 8% of the vote, or you know, their vote came from ABC Ones. So they are a wealthy person's idea of what it is to be left.
Yeah.
And they need to change that perception, and it's who can change that perception.
Yeah.
And Sock Dem voters are somewhat different according to the same information.
Well, I'm going to move on to Sock Dems.
Yeah, sorry,
okay,
yeah.
Sock Dems, go, Glenn.
No, I mean, it probably need to segue into the Sock Dems from Labour, because they're in that similar sort of centre-left space. You know, I think the one thing that the Sock Dems don't have probably is that sort of, you know, connection, long-standing tradition of working with trade unions and access to trade union members. Mm. Because you got to remember, SIP2 and Forza have, you know, probably 300,000 members between them that, you know, broadly speaking, they would be aligned with the Labour Party. So the Sock Dems don't have that. I think that's where Labour kind of get their basement, and they may not fall below that. But what have the Sock Dems got now going forward to keep sustainable? I mean, I think there's no question they're on the centre-left, like.
Mm.
Rachel?
I think if there was to be a second election, I could see PBP and Sock Dems votes being taken. Because if I take Dublin Bay North, for example, Keane O'Callaghan got in on the last count there. I think if there was a second Sinn Féin candidate there, he wouldn't have got in. And I think that their votes could be endangered. Like, yes, they've tripled their seats, but that means they've gone from 2 to 6. I admire them. I really, really do. And I gave them my first preference. But it's kind of hard because you have a couple of parties operating in that kind of centre-left, kind of between Labour and Sock Dem, and you're just kind of dividing. You're just splitting into further and further things. But I do admire the fact that I do think that Shortall and Murphy have more backbone and are willing to do more than Brendan Helen was in the Labour Party. And I also think that they're kind of more in step with their younger voters than Brendan Helen and the Labour Party are.
They've been very keen to make sure people know that they're not Labour Party 2.
Yeah. And this is where I think they'll struggle a bit, because I think that when it comes down to it, if we're going to go for a second election and you're going to go, okay, Sinn Féin, maybe 1 or 2, what's there to differentiate between Sock Dems and Labour for the average voter who isn't sitting and listening to reading as much politics as they can? I don't think there's any discernible difference between the two unless you get down to the nitty gritty, which, credit to Irish voters, a lot of them do. But sometimes it's just like, I'm just going to go.
Well, I think I think the very glaring, discernible difference is the Sock Dems haven't sold anybody out.
Not yet. They've only been around for a couple of years.
And I also think they're being very clever, saying Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael don't look like change to us. So
we'll
just sit over here until, you know, there's a viable coalition, then come talk to
us. But I do think that comes from the benefit, in the sense that Catherine Murphy was an independent before she was a Sock Dem, and Roisin Shorthall left the Labour Party. Like, these two women who are the co-leaders are not afraid to just, they're not, they don't come in and be like, oh, we have to do something to be relevant. They're like, no, we're going to sit and wait until it actually makes sense for us to do this.
Yes. Catherine was Democratic left, wasn't she, at one stage?
Yeah, yes. I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
So, she's a stalwart of Kildare North. Like, we love her down there.
Okay, so are we agreed that the Sock Dems are playing a cleverer game?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. I agree. I think they're much cleverer.
I would be fearful for their seats in a second election.
Okay. People before profit.
Oh, there's no question there. They're considerably on the left. I think they had a really good national campaign. Good TV time for Richard Boyd Barrett and, Breed Smith's, first preference vote in Dublin South Central was remarkable. Like, I think it was 11 or 12% or something. Unquestionably for me, People for Profit, they were there in 2016. They were happy to talk, to write the change and engage with, and do the transfer friendliness and, no qualms for me there. I mean, I think there were maybe deeper seated questions about the Trotsky left and capacity of people working together and that, but broadly speaking, when Boyd Barrett and them put their best foot forward, I've been pretty happy with what they've come out with.
Rachel.
Did I want to marry Richard Boyd Barrett after this election? Yes. But again, I have the same thing that I know this isn't necessarily about a second election. I will be fearful for their votes in a second election. I think they did really, really well. I wasn't convinced by Mick Barry during the debate, the debate he was represented on, I think it was RT. I don't think he came across that well. But I think they've done well, and I think the vote left, transfer left really, really helped them, because obviously, between Angus O'Snuthing in Dublin South Central, his transfers basically got Breed Smith over the line second count, and you can't discount that. But People for Profit, there's always going to be a hard left party there, and I think that's really, really good, and I think their role will be in opposition to keep the other parties honest, because unless we get a broad left coalition, they're going to be there yelling at Fianna Fáil to go, which they're very, very good at. I think we need them there for. But I would be fearful again for their seats in another election.
Well, I would say genuine, I hate to call them hard left, because compared to other countries, they're not really left.
You don't hear the phrase hard right used to describe Noel Grealish or people like that either, So one of my bugbears with sort of pundits is that you'll often hear the word leftist used to this. So you have politicians and then you have leftists. We never hear rightist either. So,
yeah, well, I think, look, genuine of the left do exactly what they say on the tin. You can trust that their opinions today will be the same as their opinions tomorrow. That's nice in politics. It's nice to have that surety.
I know Paul Murphy isn't, I know he's Solidarity or he's, no, he's Rise.
Rise.
He's Rise.
Paul
but
is Rise.
I'm glad that him and Richard Boyd Barrett got in, because I was fearful for Richard Boyd Barrett's seat before the count, because I was just like, oh my God, they're going to eat Boyd Barrett now.
No, I definitely think they're an addition to Irish, but certainly to Irish politics, they're an addition to Irish politics.
You don't get to hear enough about them, I think, during on a day-to-day basis. Like, Richard Boyd Barrett's performance in the debate reminded people that A, they're there, and B, they're there for a really good reason, and that they are a genuinely powerful voice in Irish politics. And I don't think we get to see that enough on day-to-day stuff.
Authenticity about particularly Boyd Barrett that I really like, and you see it when he has a megaphone in his hand outside the US Embassy as well. We absolutely do need those people in Parliament who, adhere to the line that, Parliament is a dung heap and you can use it to stand on and shout and make noise about things, but don't fall into it. And be fairly certain that they would never fall into the dung heap, I suppose, as Lennon once put it.
And I think we've discussed the Greens enough. I don't think we need to include them. But let's move on to
holding out hope they don't disappoint me. But I don't
let's
know.
Move on to the
bigger ones.
Third biggest party in this country, Fine Gael.
Yeah.
Go.
I think they will be delighted to get into opposition for a while and occupy that centre-right space and not have to take leaders' questions anymore, and they can just, talk Tory conservative talking points and dog whistles against the working class, and they will get support from there. They will actually build their base back up. They might peel votes, conservative votes away from Fianna Fáil, and we're going to see probably the most authentic version of Fine Gael that we've seen for a while now, particularly if the knives are out for Varadkar and they get someone who has the veneer of a statesman in like Coveney, but who's actually quintessentially a more dangerous type of Fine Gaeler.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that, because he is. He's the more presentable face.
Yeah.
Didn't he do such a good job on Brexit?
Yeah, he did. He wore the suit well. Anyway, Rachel, Fine Gael.
When you just said that, all I could think about was talk Tory to me, like a really awful Jason Derulo version, mother of God. But yeah, I think Glenn's right. I mean,
save it for the YFG, Ardesh.
I wouldn't be welcome there in any kind of regard. But anyway, I do think, I agree totally with Glenn. I think they're going to be delighted to go into opposition. I think Owen Murphy will be delighted for the break he's not going to be housing minister for, and he can now sit there and have a go at whoever's the housing minister being like, you're not doing a great enough job, and that will build up more essentially, I think Fine Gael have to do a bit of a brand kind of revamp a little bit to build up the kind of the populace that they had. I'm really interested to see when Varadkar goes. Not if Varadkar goes, it'll be when Varadkar goes. And I'm interested to see, will there be someone else to oppose Coveney there? Because I think Coveney is kind of deemed as the natural successor to Varadkar. Because kind of, if you look at it, the base wanted him as leader before Varadkar did, but Varadkar got in anyway.
Yeah. And it was a stroke.
And I would be interested to see then, if Coveney was to become leader, what would happen to the likes of Owen Murphy, who are very close to Leo. And I would be interested to see where they end up. But given that they're the third party now, which is something I didn't think I'd see in my lifetime, I'm so grateful. I think that they came out of this actually better than I thought they would, which is annoying for me because they didn't get as decimated as I would like them to. But I also think now they have an opportunity to sit there and kind of relax a little bit and then be like yelling at everyone as they would tend to do and just taking strips off people.
What about Fine Gael in a coalition with anybody, but particularly with Fianna Fáil?
Is it inevitability at this rate? I don't know.
I think because Fine Gael have a stronger ideological route on the centre-right, that even if they were the same size as Fianna Fáil, I think they would have and provide more of an identity to that coalition, and potentially Fianna Fáil would still get squeezed.
Yeah.
Because they are just, I mean, pretty much whatever you have in yourself, you know.
Fianna Fáil are like the chameleons. They will just adapt to whatever they have to be, and that's fine for them, but it doesn't mean that you can genuinely... Like, what do Fianna Fáil actually stand for?
What do you want them to stand for?
Yes, exactly. You know, but like, that's the problem.
For and against water charges, for and against repeal.
For and against a rent freeze at one point.
In and out of government. It's almost impressive, but it's gotten them this far, and I don't know how much further it's going.
But I hate Fine Gael, but they have an identity. You can hang your coat on their identity, whereas if you try to hang your coat on Fianna Fáil, it will just fall off because nobody knows what the fucking they're standing for. And your coat is missing.
I disagree with the both of you. I think that there is a room for one big centre-right party. And I think Fianna Fáil will end up it, not really? Fine Gael.
Why? I'm interested in it.
Because of Ireland's... Fianna Fáil is a patronage machine.
Mm.
And that's what it is. And Simon McGarr nailed it. He's dead right. It's a patron, and it's how we do politics here.
Mm.
It's how we do politics. Fianna Fáil have always had a wider appeal. And if you look, Fianna Fáil won the country. They won the rural vote between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. That's what they want. And that's where their base is. And they're not stupid about where their base is. And that can be worked on. The urban vote is moving away from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael altogether.
Mm.
So that's going to continue to get squeezed. It's going to continue to get squeezed. Whereas that rural vote is solidly with Fianna Fáil. It's solidly with Fianna Fáil.
Yeah, because the other parties can't. Like, if you look at maybe Sinn Féin, Sock Dems, Labour, they generally don't run enough candidates down in the rural vote. So it's always... basically, if you look at the rural vote, it's going to be a competition between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
Yeah.
For 100 years, the left hasn't given people of rural Ireland, you know, an opportunity to engage. I mean, I think it's obviously a good friend from Kerry, Kira, you know, made the point before the election, you know, look at what we have on offer here. Even, you know, best will in the world, the Sinn Féin candidate down there was on the wrong side of repeal. And... you know, like it's in a lot of ways, like rural voters, like it's like flipping over to the cold side of the pillow after a few hours. You try Fianna Fáil and you try Fine Gael, and I think the left has to take a large chunk of the responsibility for not giving people that alternative. And it's still something that has to be done. Maybe the Shinners can appeal, you know, in like the McCarthy's of this world, you know, have an in with rural Ireland. Yeah.
So I'm going to go on to Sinn Féin.
Mm.
Okay, feelings.
Nervous.
Yeah, just it's like a big snowball coming down the hill, and it keeps gathering momentum, and it's just going to keep getting bigger. How much bigger, I suppose, is the question.
And
what they do with it, and who it takes out, where's the collateral damage.
Mm.
But for me, like, I mean, there were parts of the manifesto that were grand, like workers' rights. You know, broadly speaking, it was a left social democratic programme. I know you were saying off air you thought that it probably should have been stronger on a number of things, and maybe you'll outline those in a second. But for me, I think don't want to understate that there is a left space emerging, and Sinn Féin certainly have one foot in it, and I think a lot of people would like to see them dive head first into it, but that's obviously an internal battle that will take place in Sinn Féin ranks over the next few weeks as well. But yeah, I think they've surpassed even their own expectations. And I don't think it's just as easy as saying, oh, they should have ran all these candidates either, because, you know, vote managing a two candidate strategy, like, isn't the sure thing either. So
well, as Fine Gael have learned,
yeah, hindsight is 20/20 for them, I think.
As Fianna Fáil learned as well in a couple of things. But when I say I'm nervous with Sinn Féin, it's not that I'm just, first of all, I'm bored already of all the fucking takes I've read in the last week about Sinn Féin, about how, oh my God, Violet Ann Wynne didn't pay her house, even though she was under severe, like there was a lot of health problems that was going on in that household. And then this whole thing about like, oh, they have to pay so much money to the party. It's like, okay, first of all, who gives a shit apart from Paul Coors? I don't think anyone else actually does. Second of all, where was all this scrutiny before? Because you're only putting the scrutiny on now, which I don't agree with. You either, this comes from a blatant mistrust of Sinn Féin. Fine. At least just say that. At least come out and say that you don't like Sinn Féin and actually be honest about it rather than being like, oh, wouldn't you be so outraged about this, that and the other? Like, yes, Sinn Féin weren't great on climate. I watched Mary Lou during the primetime debate and I was really disappointed by her answers on climate. It wasn't good enough. But I'm sitting here waiting for some, we need some kind of fucking change. And if Sinn Féin are the ones to do it, then yeah, let's go. I'm up for this. I'm just really, really bored already with all the takes on them. It's really fucking boring.
I think Sinn Féin is the only party that can go out there and get more seats.
Yeah, I think so too.
And that's my view. This is a numbers game. They're the only ones that can go out there and get more seats. Mm-hmm. So if I were a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Sock Dems, Greens, PPP, everybody else,
I'd be going into coalition.
I'd be going into coalition. Honest to God.
If you're Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael and there's an outside chance, or maybe more than an outside chance, that the knives are out for your leader, can you really go into another election so soon, either not having faith in the person who's leading the party, or, you know, having, you know, not elected a new leader yet? So I think there's going to be an awful lot of playing for time.
There has to be, because also you've got Shannon elections to think about as well.
Yeah, and apparently Brexit is urgent and we need to get it sorted, but it's not as important as Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael getting their ducks in a row.
Well, that kind of really annoys me, that we have been denied an election for X number of years on the pretense that Brexit was too important to screw around with. And now nobody gives a shit. Not Fianna Fáil, not Fine Gael. Nobody gives a shit. So that whole thing, we have to confidence and supply, just one big lie.
But everyone already knew that at the time. So I don't, like, there's no point in getting angry about it now, because there's much more important things you have to face, like when we get a fucking second election. Because.
Okay. Now I'm going to move on to Fianna Fáil. And where are Fianna Fáil at? Because there doesn't seem to be unanimity within the party itself.
Nobody knows what's going on. Like, I was listening to the Inside Politics podcast before I came over here, and I think it was Pat Leahy and Hugh made a really, really good point, in the sense that who is the actually anointed successor of Micheál Martin? There isn't one, because, as they alluded to, Lisa Chambers is gone. She lost her seat. Michael McGrath, maybe. But can you name, like, maybe, actually, that's the wrong question. You can name fucking everyone in the political system. But I was going to say, your average voter, can they name the front bench of Fianna Fáil? Because I certainly can't. I know Derek Leary, and I know Michael McGrath, and I know Jim Callaghan. That's about it. Whereas you look at Fine Gael, I can name, practically rattle off at least half that parliamentary party.
Yeah, but they've been in government. That's why you can't.
No, that's not strictly true. Because, yes, you can. Yeah, you can. They've been in government. But also, like, the back benches of Fianna Fáil, like, technically haven't really been, not they haven't really been doing much, but they haven't really been making a lot of noise.
Really, but they have their, I suppose they have their two wings, don't they? I mean, they have their finance centre-right wing, which I would see Michael McGrath as very much a part of.
Yeah.
And then you probably have the more sort of traditionally maybe slightly left on economic issues, like, wing of the party. I don't see where a candidate comes from that. I don't think you could credibly say it's someone like Jim O'Callaghan, but he might be in the race again.
Just because of his name more than anything, I think.
I was quite close to Dublin South Central. I was out in the doors a bit for John Collins, just so there's no skeletons in my closet there. But watching the votes come in, like, I mean, Catherine O'Dara's transfer has failed to elect Catherine Byrne. And I thought that was quite remarkable. And I don't think Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil will make the same mistake again next time. I think there will be much more coordinated transfers between those two parties. Just out of pure self-preservation.
Even though we're all saying coalition, we're all also talking next time.
Well, this is the thing, because either, I think the most likely scenario here is that you get a coalition between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael that's propped up by the Greens. I mean, it's either that or they take the risk that Sinn Féin gains more seats in a second election. And whatever about we won't go into coalition with Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, they're not stupid. And they know that Sinn Féin are the only party who can go upwards here. So why wouldn't you go, if you're Fianna Gael, why wouldn't you go into coalition?
I think there are historic differences which the vast majority of us don't see actually mean something to them. I think it actually means
something. I hate to remind them that it's 2020, not 1920.
Well, I think it actually means something to the Eamon O'Quaves, to these people. It means something. The rest of us might not see it, or it's lost in nuance, or we're saying two cheeks the same arse. But I think to them, it makes a real difference. And I do see the fear that if they go into coalition together, that one gets squeezed out.
Mm-hmm.
And I do see that fear. And as pragmatic politicians, as we agree, Fianna Fáil can be anything you want them to be. They're more likely to do well because Fine Gael are too stuck in the mud, way, way too stuck in the mud. So I think in a coalition, Fianna Fáil will come out top dog. They'll consume Fine Gael. They'll lose their overall share of the vote, but one of them gets bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the problem for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And I think that's the issue for everybody else who's doing talks with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Why are you wasting your time? Why are you wasting the electorate's time? Let them sort their differences first, then say, well, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Come to us. I don't get why anybody else is talking until Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael sort their differences one way or another.
Yeah, well, that's
fine. This is just theatre.
It's just theatre. And if it continues, it's 16% have said they want another general election. 2 weeks from now, I see that going up. 2 weeks more, I see it going up. Time's not on anybody's side here.
No.
Was the question asked, would you be annoyed by another election? Because I think people, like 16% of people identifying strongly, oh, I want an election, doesn't necessarily mean that the vast majority of people would be angered by it. I think canvassers would be, smaller parties would be, but I mean, like 62% turnout, you might get actually a few more people, that might go up by 3 or 4% next time.
I put a poll on Twitter which said, do you mind if there is another general election? And it had 4,500 votes, which is four times the size of theirs. Okay, a little bit of bias. People who follow me and people I follow.
But not the same as asking, would you strongly want another election?
Yeah. Do you mind if... And it was 70-30 in favor, saying, look, I don't mind if there's another election.
Won't somebody please think of the health of the poll cores?
Okay.
You can't. If Richard Chambers is forced out on another election, it might actually kill him. It might.
So, poor canvassers deserve a break as well.
Yeah, they do.
We are a week or so on from the election. Anybody any the wiser where we're going?
No.
Glenn?
No, but I'm sticking around for the ride. It's quite exciting.
Okay.
I haven't seen the Glenn as excited in years.
And this is the second question. The longer this goes on, will you get more frustrated with the process?
Yeah. Ooh, in what sense?
If we have 3-4 months, it took what, 80 days the last time, 90 days the last time? If this goes 90 days and there's no government, are you not going to be frustrated by that? Particularly when there's no prospect of a government, unless the Greens go into coalition with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And then what's the point?
Frustration is channeled. Like, I mean, yeah. If there was a couple of rallies outside Leinster House to reinforce some messaging on health and on housing and on climate, then that might be, you know, a really good positive way to channel some of that frustration.
Yeah, it still doesn't form a government.
No. But it keeps the pressure on.
On who?
I mean, what do you want? Like, back to business as usual, you know, national interest, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael go in together, and that would be the message. And though this is important, though, there's too much at stake with the economy, and you know, it might not be successful, but like, that's the most obvious thing for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to do, is to come up with a national interest narrative, get all their buddies in the press to propagate it, and then for it to fail, like, because people aren't going to buy it. But that could be well how it plays out.
It's on the way. It's on the way. Existential crisis is what they're waiting for. They're just waiting for it. They're just waiting. Oh, we must form a government. We must. The responsible parties will come with us.
Mm.
And then Emil Ryan will jump up and go, I'm responsible. And then you have your government. And then you have it.
And that'll be the end of the Greens.
You know, we've been here before.
I know we've been here before. And that's why I really don't want them to do it.
We've
been here before. But I can't say with great certainty that I have faith in them not to do it.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
I'm trying to reserve judgment until they actually either do or don't do it, because I've probably been a bit too derogatory to the Greens online in the past. But I mean, you know, it's their bed if they want to lie in it, absolutely. But reserve judgment until, I mean, because all of the young Greens online are saying it needs 2/3 majority to pass.
Great now, lefties.
They're really good.
A political lesson in the past when I was in Labour youth, blown away by the Gilmore Gael and all that, and then, you know, Quinn signing the pledge. And, me as a newly elected student vice president, you know, couldn't really stomach that. But that was a political lesson for me. And, you know, I would sympathise with them if they do. But, like, you know, they might be in for a political lesson.
Okay, so we might all be in for a political lesson. Look, thank you, you two, for coming and joining me on this very stormy, wet and windy Sunday afternoon. And look, thanks for listening in, folks. Again, Patreon, get onto the website, www.tortoiseshack.com/Patreon. Join us. We're a movement ourselves. We're trying to keep everybody informed. Thank you.